Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the official Lost podcast, the audio-only edition, hosted by ABC.com. Well, we're back. And for once, I don't have to do my hair or pretend that I actually like being in front of the camera. For that, you can check out our video podcast, also available at ABC.com. But on to why we're really here today, which is executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse are back with us today. They are here to rehash our last episode, The Economist, and take your fan questions about polar bear skulls and Hurley's Dudes Per Episode, or DPE. They'll also find a little time in there to prehash our next episode, Eggtown, which airs, and here comes the plug, Thursday, February 21st at 9 p.m. on ABC and is available the next day at, yes, you guessed it, ABC.com. Here now are Damon and Carlton.
Well, hello, Damon.
Hi, Carlton.
My gosh, it has been a long time since our last podcast.
Too long, I would say.
You know, I have to say I really missed you. I mean, you know, normally we spend at least 12 hours a day together during the work week, and oftentimes we're working on the weekends, and then all of a sudden, due to the WGA strike, that all kind of went away.
But I saw you almost every day during the WGA strike. So to say that I didn't miss you is not an accurate telling of how my feelings for you, which are deep and, you know, and unyielding, and that's why I got you those chocolates this morning for Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you.
That was so nice of you. As I wrote in the card, be mine forever, Carlton. But I didn't miss you because I saw you all the time.
Pretty much every day of the strike, I would go places and I would think that I would see you. Like, I'd be in line for pizza at Costco and I would say, Damon! And, like, the guy would turn around and it wouldn't be you. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I got kicked in the nuts.
Wow. Can you say that on a podcast? I think you can.
Well, we certainly can.
But one of those times it was me kicking you in the nuts. So, you know.
That was that incident in the filling station, and we don't need to go into that here.
It's best not to.
Anyway, yeah, so we're actually sitting here back on the Disney lot, happy to be back on the Disney lot, and it is the day that The Economist is airing. We're going to...
And Valentine's Day.
It's Valentine's Day, that's right.
And nothing says Valentine's Day like Saeed.
Well, those chocolates you gave me did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And they are shaped like Saeed, which is a little weird, but Naveen was kind enough to pose for us, and, you know, that's the way it works.
There are some good Lost spinoff products, and then there's some less good Lost spinoff products.
Yeah, I would say Torturer Saeed, you know, caramel flavor. It's what's fun is that until you bite his head off, you don't know what candy filling's inside. So, oh, this one is mint. Oh, this one has cashews in it. I don't like that one so much.
Yeah. Well, I try to stay away from the cherry ones.
Yes. That somehow feels like inorganic to Saeed. In any case, though, you guys will have already seen The Economist, so we can rehash it, and then we can prehash Eggtown, which is going to be very exciting.
So, obviously, now you know that Saeed is also one of the Oceanic Six.
So that's four.
Which pretty much, by my count, leaves two left.
That's four down.
That's four down. To recap, that would be Jack, Kate, Hurley, and Saeed.
I think a lot of people are kind of saying, though, you're going to pull something clever on us and say that Kate is not actually one of the Oceanic Six because she's, like, living under an assumed identity or something like that. And we can confirm for you here that Hurley, Jack, Saeed, and Kate are four members of the Oceanic Six.
That doesn't mean we're not going to pull a trick on you, though.
Yeah, but not with those four.
Not with those four.
Those four. The remaining
no
two.
No tricks.
Yeah, the remaining two are going to be...
Very tricky.
Very tricky.
But anyway, we actually really love the idea that Saeed is in the future working for Ben and helping to fight off the kind of evil forces of badness.
Yeah, when we basically first started talking about what Saeed was going to do in his post-island life, we all sort of gravitated towards this Jason Bourne idea that he was sort of traipsing around the world assassinating people. And it was kind of a cool idea to us because he'd have a certain degree of notoriety as a result of being one of the Oceanic Six, which would be the perfect cover for an assassin. It's a very sort of James Bondish idea where you can be a secret agent but also sort of come flouncing into a casino and make a big display of yourself.
Yeah,
not that Saeed flounces.
We'd also seen The Devil Wears Prada about the same time, but we could not make that into a future flash forward.
We're still working on that.
You were going to get the identity of the other members of the Oceanic Six soon. That's not going to be a sort of end of the season sort of a mystery.
Yeah. And, you know, and we might have another flash forward to be looking forward to in the very near future.
Yes.
Which may or may not reveal other members of the Oceanic Six.
Well, let's just say it will.
Well, okay, let's say it will.
Okay.
But it will.
It will.
Just one other thing. Yeah. One other thing just about The Economist that I found interesting, and certainly conversationally a lot of people are very activated by Faraday, character that Jeremy Davies is playing. And, you know, we're really excited about all our new actors. You know, hopefully we'll be talking about them in some future podcast, but we really love Rebecca Mader and Ken Leung and Jeremy Davies and Jeff Fahey. They're just doing awesome work. So Faraday was conducting some interesting experiments in The Economist, and I was wondering, Carlton, if you'd like to explain to me at least, because I found it very intriguing, what's up with all these sort of rocketry digital watch fiascos.
Well, there was kind of a time shift that obviously occurred. I mean, this rocket was launched and it was synchronized with Faraday's watch, but in fact, when it arrived, the digital clock had a slightly different time, which would suggest that there was some sort of time fluctuation that occurred in that rocket's journey from the freighter to the island. And I think that's something which is pretty important.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's why I was asking.
Well, thank you for asking.
I found it engaging.
I think that was a good question.
You
picked up on something very important in that episode.
That's good, because we wrote future episodes about that very thing. And if we hadn't picked up on it, that would have been a detriment to the show.
So who would you go with, Locke or Jack?
Oh, back in the premiere?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. If I were just on the island in the moment that it was going on, I would go with Locke, because he sort of has the more salient argument. Never mind that he
threw a knife into Naomi's back.
Yeah, but the fact is Charlie died and said that these people are liars and not. It wouldn't be that I was so much going with Locke as I was going away from Jack. But what's interesting is when you watch the show and you see the flash forwards, you know that Jack is right, because Jack is going to end up getting off the island as a result of his decision-making
process.
That's
why I'd go with Jack.
So that's, but you, what if you didn't know that he was going to get off the island and you were just there?
Well, I'd still probably go with Jack anyway, because, you know, I kind of like Jack.
No, Carlton, because you went on record as saying, whatever Rose and Bernard are doing is what I'm doing. And Rose and Bernard stay with Jack.
That's true.
And that's, well, you can be honest.
It's pretty much just Rose.
You've got a little crush on Rose.
I like, you know, I mean, Bernard's fine, but Rose, she's got it all happening.
This is why you've been trying to kill Bernard off for the better part of three seasons, so more Rose for you.
Well,
Carlton,
I won't deny that.
Look at me. She's fictional. She's not a real person, and it's time to move on.
You're going to tell me that on Valentine's Day?
I'm just saying. It's time to let go.
That's
why.
That's
go eat some more of your Saeed-shaped candies and get over it.
Oh, my God. All
There's
right.
some sort of Rose Valentine's Day joke to be made here, but I'm just way too tired to make it.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we are going to try to do a weekly podcast, but there may be a few hiccups downstream, particularly as we actually right now it's a little better because we're just writing, but once production gears up, it's going to get a little crazier.
Sometimes the tireder we get, though, the better the podcast is. It gets
always
sort of like data, and we start
they really are.
Laughing,
yeah,
and
yeah, the
hallucinating.
I'm sure people are really dying for more maniacal laughter from me.
Like
That's
one time, I was
good.
Convinced we were doing the podcast, and you had a parrot sitting on your head. And did you?
That was not a fiction.
Oh, okay.
That really was. That parrot, I sold that parrot on eBay during the strike, though. Can I ask you a few questions?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. Let's rock. I'm really happy to be back, and I'm really happy to see your questions. So you guys feel free to write some in, and we'll be addressing more next week. This question is about Hurley from I Don't Like Locke. Dear Damon Carlton, first of all, love the podcast, blah, 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 all that usual stuff.
That's my favorite part. Okay.
I have several questions regarding Hurley. I like this part. In season one, Hurley says dude 73 times, appearing in all 24 episodes.
Wow.
In season two, he only
so
says
that's
it.
Three DPEs, as just mathematically extrapolated.
And don't interrupt. Well, in season two, he only says it 44 times while appearing in all but one episode. How many episodes is that then?
It's slightly two DPEs. It's like 1.9 DPEs.
And then in season three, he says it 72 times when he wasn't in seven episodes.
Wow.
Please, can you explain the reason for this fluctuation? I just can't understand it.
In the DPEs?
Yes.
Well, this is very astute, and when, this is one of those moments. We should almost play like a dun-da-da-dun, like some sort of fanfare, pulling back the curtain moment. In Jorge Garcia's contract, we are only allowed to do 80 dudes per season.
I think technically, actually, he gets a bonus if we use, if more right. than 80. It's like you know, in baseball, like plate appearances right. or innings pitched.
There were complex renegotiations going on with the entire cast in season two, and basically Jorge would not go above his allotted 44 dudes per season. So we had to be creative in the writer's room and have him say things like man and coaches, and then we realized he was sort of stepping on Sawyer's toes a little, but fortunately we were able to resolve him and get it back up to the 77 number. And
this,
you know,
season we're going for 200. Pretty yeah. much all he's going to say in any circumstances, dude.
All right. Well, that okay. there's the answer to your question.
I have two more. There's two more parts to this question.
Oh, great.
They will serve as quick answers.
Okay.
Will we ever actually see what happened when the deck collapsed? Is there more to be told about the deck collapse?
In Hurley's backstory, for those of you who sort of need to be refreshed, part of the reason that he's institutionalized at Santa Rosa is he has this tremendous amount of guilt because he was at a party and he stepped out onto this deck and the deck collapsed, and he feels it's a result of his unhealthy relationship with food and his horrible bad luck.
Yeah, and I think we can confirm now that season five will be all about the deck collapse.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think it's actually
the focus of season
it's
five.
It's actually just called season five : deck collapse! Exclamation point.
That's right.
So you heard it here first.
One more part of this question.
Yes.
What's up with Libby?
This part I'm going to take seriously.
Will we ever find out why she was in a mental institute? And are we going to see her again this season?
Now, there's something. The difference between a mental institute and a mental institution is that at a mental institute, you learn how to become mental. So
smart.
I just want to make sure.
Is Harvard a mental
yeah,
institute?
Yeah. I want to make sure that we...
And Atascadero was a mental
exactly.
institution.
You and I both did three-year programs at mental institutes. Libby, however, was in a mental institution. All we can say is you will be seeing Libby again soon, at some point this season.
Yes.
And as far as to how she ended up in the mental institution, that's a question for another day. I get to ask you a question, Carlton, of course, on behalf of Double Dealer. I like questions that come in at 11:54 p.m. because you find, like, you know, when you're dancing around the midnight hour, that's when you get some really interesting questions. So Double Dealer has posted 126 times, and the question is as follows, Carlton. Is the Smoke Monster a security system that was made to resemble the Hindu god Vishnu? And is Hurley's bird supposed to be like Garuda? Vishnu is described as being the color of clouds. Vishnu is also described in the Bhagavad Gita as having a universal form, otherwise known as the Vishvaparupa, which is beyond the ordinary limits of human sense perception. You've also mentioned Hurley's bird has a wingspan of 16 feet, and Garuda is known for having a large wingspan. So are they based on them, or did you have them in mind when designing them?
I've only been to, like, yoga once.
No, this is not a yoga question.
Isn't it?
Those are actually Indian gods, I believe.
The answer is yes.
Wow. There you go. You heard it here first, folks.
I think that's actually very, those are very interesting observations. I wish that we could say that we were as influenced by, you know, sort of Hindu culture, but I think perhaps some of that is coincidental.
Carlton and I were musing over lunch with our producers here of the Lost Podcast.
That's Chris.
You know, that's
and
Chris
Jeff.
And Jeff. That basically...
Jeff, you can't wave and be yeah, heard on
yeah.
it.
But essentially, we were saying that if we were just one-tenth of as smart as you guys are, the show would be amazing and make no sense whatsoever.
Absolutely indecipherable.
Yeah, exactly.
But we learn more from your questions than you actually learn from the show, so that's good.
And I learn more about you, Carlton.
This is from Ben Never Lies, who's been posting 19 times and wrote this at 1:21 p.m., probably while at work. Damon, how does a polar bear, well, it doesn't say Damon, I'm just asking you. It just says, how does a polar bear with a Dharma collar get in the middle of the desert?
Is this a trick question? How does a polar bear, well, I guess there are a couple possible explanations. One is that
he, I'd like to know he, what the couple are.
Yeah. Okay. One is that he got on a boat and the boat went sailed to Tunisia.
Does he have land, to buy a ticket?
I believe is landlocked. No, he could have stowed away or, you know, and then hitchhiked his way into the desert and then realized I'm a polar bear and this is probably a bad idea. But by then
he was dead.
He was dead. So that's one way. Another way is that there are, you know, that there are properties of the island, shall we say. Let's just call them properties for now.
Okay.
That are potentially capable of, shall we say, transporting, you know, things from the island off the island.
It might be helpful, actually, for those viewers who are interested in this question to go online and find the training film for the Orchid Station.
Yeah, that would be a very good place to start.
Which, you know, is something which, you know, rarely do we actually have things that aren't in the show that actually are important to the show. But in this case, it is important. Yet, if you don't see the Orchid trailer, you can actually, when we get to it later in
but
the
if
show,
you're,
you'll be fine.
It's good to say, if you're curious about how a polar bear with a Dharma collar ends up in Tunisia, watch that film because that polar bear has certain things in common with, say, bunnies with eights on their backs.
That's right.
Carlton, this is a question from Jack is my shepherd.
Oh, nice.
Four posts, 11:47 a.m. It's a nice, reasonable time in the morning to be posting. I am sure that it is simply a network decision or something because I find it impossible that you guys would do something so careless. They actually say carless. But
carless.
Since there are no cars on the show, I assume they mean careless. On a show based on mystery, here's my question. Why in the world do you list the stars and guest stars during the scene right after the title sequence? It gives away a lot. For example, it gave away Boone was going to be in Locke's episode last year, as well as Walt being in the finale. Granted, we don't know in what manner, but it still ruins some of the shock value. But the main problem is this. During Confirmed Dead, Jeremy Davies, Rebecca Mader, and Ken Leung are all listed as starring, and Jeff Fahey is listed as guest starring, which means the possibility of him dying is great and given away, even if internet spoilers are avoided.
You know, there's another game you can play, and it involves getting out old pictures of, like, the Politburo in Russia and seeing who's standing next to each other, too. There's a lot of clues about who's in power and who's not in power based on those types of pictures.
Is that one of the games your family played on a Sunday night?
We do. We just...
My family, we played Monopoly. But I guess at the Q's house, it was like, it's time to play. Who's in power at the Politburo?
Well,
this explains a lot, Carlton. This explains at least the first 2 years of the mental institute.
You know, the thing is that these actors have contracts, and their contracts require them to have credits, and those credits are required to be at the front of the show. So, you know, those names have to appear there. It is a network contractual obligation to credit the actors at the beginning of the show. So,
so you're saying that Jeff Fahey is not in any more danger than anybody else because he is just guest starring?
Well, yeah, I think that's an incorrect assumption to assume that because he's listed as a guest star that he is in more danger. By the way, Harold Perrineau has been listed in the credits, and have you seen Harold Perrineau in the show?
Not unless he's hiding. I mean, it's possible.
I mean, you know, maybe it's an Easter egg.
Yeah, I have to.
You gotta go frame by frame. Oh, there's Harold.
Well, that's good because it's like by the time that I never know when he's going to pop up. That's exciting.
That's exactly right. So, you know, it can work different ways. So, yes, you see Harold Perrineau's name, but you haven't seen Harold Perrineau. Various actors are credited in episodes in which they might not even appear. So, you know, you can intuit things like in a Politburo photo, but that doesn't mean that they're actually correct. I have another animal question for you, Damon, because you killed with the polar bear question.
It could be any more interesting than the Politburo.
This is my... Maybe on the show we could have a polar bird bureau.
Oh, yeah, okay.
This is from Centro57.
Yes.
He has posted 50 times, posted at 2:34 p.m.
Okay.
Damon, where did all the cows come from? Was this Patchy's cow? Does this cow have a name? Are clues to the mysteries of this island found with the history of this cow? And I would like to see a backstory on this cow.
Wow. Great question. I think we can confirm here that this is, in fact, Patchy's cow because,
yeah.
You know, one of the things when Patchy's station, the flame blows up, there are a lot of people, I think, who were concerned, you know, what happened to the cow.
Svetlana.
and her cows, Svetlana. Yeah, I was going to get to that next. And now we know she is wandering the island.
Feeling very lonely.
Yeah, looking lonely, looking up at the stars, occasionally grazing, hanging out with the monster. There's a whole show going on. That's season six. Season six is the adventures of Svetlana. You know, because we are going to be completely... After we do season five, the deck collapse. I don't know what's going to be left. So, you know, that's what I would say.
So, in season six.
Let me ask you a question, Carlton. If, when you looked at pictures of the Politburo, how close is the cow standing to the premiere? All right. This is a fastball down the Carlton Cues strike zone. My final question
by
James Murray Hernandez. 8 in the morning, 99 posts.
Wow.
Carlton.
Yes.
So Charlotte Staples Lewis is one of the helicopter crew. If I'm not mistaken, the famous philosopher Christian apologist C.S. Lewis, his middle name was Staples. Coincidence? I think not. I'm just waiting to find out. The Dharma had a lion named Aslan, and the name of the biggest backer of Dharma was Alvar Caspian Hanso. Also, wasn't Lewis working with J.R.R. Tolkien on a story connecting Tolkien's Middle Earth with today's Earth? I think it was called The Lost Road or some such thing.
Well, let's just say that, yes, the homage to Clive Staples Lewis is very intentional, and there definitely are themes in the Narnia Chronicles that are very relevant for Lost.
Chronicles are very hot right now. You've got the Spiderwick Chronicles, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. You know, what makes something a chronicle?
Lots of it. Lots of episodes.
Lots of them.
Yes. I think, you know, a reading of the Narnia books is not only enjoyable, but probably somewhat instructive.
Yeah, in the same way that I think Alice in Wonderland is something that we refer to in Oz. Those sort of other... What's great about those worlds is they're all worlds on the other side of Earth. That is to say, they're not fantasy realms like in Star Wars. Narnia is actually connected to the world that we know, and, and so is Oz, as is Wonderland.
As is our island.
As is our island.
I think that's a pretty good place to stop. There's nowhere to go from here.
It ain't a good place to start. guys, it's obviously great to be back. Thank you so much for listening to us crack each other up.
Yes, and we look forward to seeing you next week after...
Eggtown. Which has got a killer ending.
From us to you, happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's Day, Carlton.
Happy Valentine's Day, Dan.
Why is your hand on my thigh?
Stop it!
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it for our podcast today. As the guys said, between fits of laughter, we hope to be back again next week, but fear not if we're not. We shall return shortly. In the meantime, don't forget that you can submit your questions for Damon and Carlton at lost.abc.com. Eggtown airs February 21st at 9 p.m. on ABC and is available the next day at abc.com.